The Unitarian Universalist Church of Wilmington posted this message from a young person on their social media recently, and it read, "Dear Church with the rainbow flag, thank you for being brave enough to put a flag up. I'm not religious, but if there is a God, I am glad they have you. And I do hope that God is glad to have us, and we are glad to have each other in pride. And as there is a spark, no, a flame of the divine within us all, namaste, I greet the God in you." Meister Eckhart, a medieval Dominican who faced charges of heresy, said, "Every creature is a book about God." And I add that every creature under the sun is indeed unique. There is no one like you in the whole world. And this is a cause of celebration. I didn't have a title for this service. I just wished it to be known as Pride. But there is a song in our hymn book that we sing often. And it is called "We Are a Gentle, Angry People." And Josh played the tune at the beginning of the service. The verses of the hymn describes us who sit in the pews. We are young and old together. We are a land of many colors. And in the fourth verse, we sing, "We are gay and straight together. And we are singing, singing for our lives." And if I was to gently rework the lyric, I would sing, "We are alive in pride together. And we are singing, singing for our lives." So this address is probably best described as gentle and angry. I am gentle as I describe what I believe to be true, but I am angry at the continuing harassment and violence inflicted upon members of the LGBTIQA plus community, or the Pride community, as I've chosen to describe us. And by the Pride community, if I may, include all those who embrace diversity with love, all the mams and dads, the sisters and brothers, the friends and lovers, allies and fighters. Embracing pride encourages gentleness and anger, but also strength and joy. Members of the Pride community endure hatred, oppression, violence, and isolation. And it is pride that should be an act of resistance, a protest, a coming out. I am what I am, and what I am needs no excuses. Gay, straight, black, brown, white, cis, trans, non-binary, asexual, woman, man. Now, many people struggle with the terms used when talking about sexuality and gender. Part of my work involves providing capacity-building workshops on gender and sexuality. And it's specifically for those who work with young people. And it is designed to help adults who work with young LGBTIQ plus people, the young Pride community. And it helps them to build their knowledge and also to work through how they can create safe and healthy spaces where young people can belong, grow, and develop. And as part of the training, I begin by telling those present a little about myself, what the issue means to me, a personal story that might speak to the subject of gender and sexuality. And this is the story. In 1997, I encountered hatred and violence after a night out in town. I was beaten unconscious and spent a week in hospital. I was left with a fractured eye socket, horrific bruising in both body and soul, and I awoke in hospital as the doctor was examining me to see if I'd suffered other more intimate injuries. I had survived my teens despite the absolute terror of being found out, only to suffer the hatred of homophobia as an adult. Growing up, I never felt there was anything wrong about me. I just couldn't understand why people in my life were so disparaging towards people in the Pride community, so I hid myself. And like Panty Bliss in her noble call to the people of Ireland, delivered on the Abbey stage just before the same-sex referendum, I checked myself so my true self is not revealed. And I feel a deep sadness about that. Panti called it oppressive, and indeed it is. And even today, I find myself unconsciously checking myself so that my sexuality isn't so obvious. As I learnt on that night in Dublin City, my city, one's identity can get you into serious trouble. It was an assault not only on my body, but on my soul. And I can't quite shake that feeling, that fear, even today. And indeed, it feels oppressive. Wounds don't really heal. They become companions and scars and bruises telling the truth. There's a story told about a man called Jesus who suffered horrific violence because he challenged the religious authorities. The story goes that after he died, he appeared to his followers. And despite his supposed resurrection from the dead, his wounds had not disappeared. He showed those to whom he appeared his injuries. And like Jesus, we too carry our injuries throughout our lives, whether physically manifested in our bodies or deeply hidden in emotional pain. And when it comes to young people, we need to enable them to build their resilience by letting them know that life will present big and small challenges. Resilience is about knowing that, and being able to respond with courage and hope. And of course, this applies to all young people, regardless of their gender or sexuality. Hatred of the Pride community was inspired by an unholy coalition between church and state and others. And truly, the next violent attack is just around the corner. It could be a statement by a state actor, a columnist, a comment on social media. It's all just around the corner. Una Mullally wrote in the Irish Times last week, "The dichotomy is there, the progress and the regression, the joy and the pain, the celebration and the fight. It all coexists." Same-sex sexual activity was decriminalized in 1993, and 22 years later, we celebrated the outcome of the same-sex referendum. But changing laws alone does not always lead to social recognition, greater respect, or love. The streets don't change that much. So to the term LGBTIQA+, I don't intend to explain it all today. I do have, like Sean, an information sheet if you would like to take one after the service. But I will, however, encourage you to consider a few things. One, the fact that we don't live in a binary world. We live in a world made up of spectrums. It's not as simple as gay or straight, male or female, and it never was. I'll also speak about what the Hebrew and Christian scriptures might say about this. There are middle spaces, spaces to the left, to the right, upside down spaces, inside out spaces, and thank God for them. Life is complex. We are multitudes. Bodies and minds are complex. And understanding who we are in terms of our gender and sexuality is complex. But it is a person's truth. Not complex to me, but may very well be complex to you. And there is nothing new in that. There is truly nothing new under the sun. In my day, we didn't have this. Well, yes, you did. But it was hidden, laden with guilt, unacceptable, and firmly locked in the closet. There are centuries-old stories of people who were both celebrated and reviled for their gender and sexual identities. And as we increasingly reject harmful attitudes and laws, the greater the visibility of the Pride community. Come into the light, I say, so that we may celebrate and affirm your lives. Walk with those you meet who question or embrace their gender or sexuality. Listen to them. They will tell you who they are. Empathize with their soul. They will assign a label for themselves. So you see, members of the Pride community are just people who fall out of society's deeply held views of what is normal. You know what I mean. Boys will play with boys' toys. and wear boys' clothes. They will have girlfriends, they will marry them, and they will have children. Girls will play with girls' toys, wear girls' clothes, have boyfriends, marry them, and have children. Both will be assigned a sex at birth, and expectations about their lives will flow from that. And once the doctor ticks the male or female box on the form, mom and dad and everyone around them has their expectations and their assumptions set. The Human Rights Campaign has an online resource from which I'm going to quote. And it says, "Religion has been the source of both solace and suffering for many lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer people." And before I continue, I wish to assure you, and you know this, those who are regular visitors here, you will not find a more welcoming and inclusive spiritual house as this one. We not only look to offer solace, as we learned from the address given by Rory Delaney a few weeks ago, we like to assign a label to ourselves, the most dissenting church of all. There is not only acceptance and respect, there is celebration, particularly when we preside over same-sex weddings. The Catechism of the Roman Catholic Church, a text which contains dogmas and teachings of the Church, names homosexual acts as intrinsically immoral and contrary to the natural law, and names homosexual tendencies as objectively disordered. Tendencies. That's enough, I will say no more about that. The Church of Ireland and other mainstream or regular Christian churches just rejects homosexual relationships as incompatible with Scripture. And the debate goes on within those churches regarding gender identity and human sexuality. The Presbyterian Church in Ireland pretty much sums it up for most mainstream Christian churches. And it states that same-sex relationships is not consistent with the Word of God, but love and hope is extended to all. Well, thank you for that. Hinduism, interestingly, Hinduism says everything in this world is a reflection of the original, subtle, and spiritual reality. It does not have a position on same-sex relationships. The Kama Sutra actually recommends it. And Hinduism recognizes a third sex, those who do not wish or cannot procreate, or those disinterested in sex, what we might call ace or asexual. Islam, cultural norms, traditional readings of sacred texts, they normally hold a heteronormative binary of gender identification. LGBTI Muslims do not feel welcome generally in mainstream mosques. Reformed Judaism and Orthodox Judaism have two very differing views. And then Unitarians, and of course, we know about Unitarians. But let me just say, the Unitarian Universalist Association that we are very close friends with, they say we not only open our doors to people of all sexual orientations and gender identities, we value diversity of sexuality and gender and see it as a spiritual gift. Amen. And with this church, we do not dissent from this position. We simply say that a person's gender and sexuality is to be respected and celebrated and free from discrimination. No two oak trees are the same. No two daisies, no two cats, no two humans are the same. We all have a unique code, a unique set of biological traits, but all have a spark or a flame of the divine. And all are connected to the vital energy that gives life and sustenance to creation. Now, some call this God, the first mover, the creator. You have your own understanding or not of God. We will not define that for you. And we all have the freedom to search for the truth. But I do want to address Scripture. To those who quote Scripture as a justification for the condemnation of the pride community, we might look at Leviticus. So alongside eating pork, shellfish, wearing clothes with different materials and sowing differing crops side by side, it says, "You shall not lie with a male as with a woman." It is an abomination. Now, this is commonly known as a clobber passage. The word homosexual, by the way, does not appear anywhere in Scripture before 1946. And translating anything from an ancient language, of course, is fraught with difficulty. Now, this clobber passage actually refers to incestuous relationships. Some argue that. Some say it actually the original Hebrew text referred to child abuse, not consensual sexual relations between people of the same sex. But it is pretty clear on eating shellfish and pork chops. But seriously, are we going to stone to death those farmers with rasher sandwiches, wearing clothes with different materials, sowing their crops, their different crops side by side? No, we're not. What about enslavement of human beings? And there are clear rules in Scripture about how to treat your slaves and when to set them free. Leviticus, Deuteronomy have different rules. They deal with it differently. Is this the word of the Lord? In Deuteronomy, we have calls for the stoning of non-virgin brides and both couples in the case of adultery. So these early books of the Old Testament, and we know this, they contain many harsh commandments and regulations, much of which cannot be reconciled with the teachings of Jesus, and certainly not with our innate sense of justice and human rights. But there is one beautiful love story in the Old Testament, and I reckon it's the first written account of love at first sight. And it's the story of David and Jonathan. And it's told in the book of Samuel. When he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and David loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his armor, and even his sword and his bow and his girdle. And David went out and was successful wherever Saul sent him. So Saul sent him over the men of war. And this was good in the sight of all of the people. Now Jonathan was a warrior in King Saul's army. David was a musician in the court, but he was also the guy who took down Goliath, David and Goliath. Now, they were both married to women, that's okay, and they had often a challenging relationship because war and politics got in the way. But when Jonathan died, David wrote a lament, and he said, "Your love for me was wonderful, more wonderful than that of a woman." We are told in Genesis, in the creation story, and there are two very different creation stories in Genesis, that God made us in their own image. And if that is so, my gender and sexuality reflects God's image. God knit me together in my mother's womb, as the psalm says. Yes, I am who I am. No excuses needed. Male and female, God made them. Yes, of course. And I'm being facetious here, maybe, but how else would we be able to make more fabulous human beings? But within that spectrum of male and female, we find diversity and difference, not a strict binary. We know that because of our experience. We know that because of the obvious diversity we encounter in the world. And it is beautiful, and that calls for celebration. Paul in the New Testament decried homosexuality. But we need context here. He was writing for a particular people in a particular time, and he was not a fan of sex. He believed God's return was just around the corner, any day now. So there was no time for any sport or fun. People should prepare. Besides, Paul did not use the words gay or homosexual. As I said, that only appeared in 1946. I could go on about St. Paul, but I won't. Jesus, just to mention that Jesus said nothing either way about gender or sexuality. Well, he did really. He said that where love is, God is. And while the Pharisees and the religious zealots at the time were quoting laws from the Old Testament at him, he said, "I give you a new law, love. All that is done in love is good in the eyes of God." And he outlines the golden rule: already spoken by prophets long before him. Do unto others what you would have them do to you. And there's nothing more to be said. From our point of view here in this church, and we say this many times, we do not hold that the Bible or the scriptures are God's definitive word. It is a collection of books written over thousands of years by people in particular contexts and in communities not like our own. We read it, we interpret it for ourselves. We use our reason, our conscience, and most importantly, we put it into the context of our lived experience. To conclude, I wish I had heard the words of that great Unitarian Walt Whitman when I was a young man. In preface to Leaves of Grass, he writes, "Re-examine all you have been told in school and in church or in any book. Dismiss whatever insults your own soul, and your very flesh will be a great poem." Now, knowing these words might have helped me articulate to myself how I might have been true to myself and those around me. So I invite you all to re-examine all that you have been told. A great poem speaks universal truths, no more so than those who fall out of what is considered normal. We fall in love with life that is a kaleidoscope of colors and ideas, of identities and spectrums. And God looks and sees it is good. For all expression of love is good. It comes from God, the creator of beauty and truth. Look in deep inside yourself, for there you will find your identity. It is good and is a reflection of God's love. And I am thankfully living that great poem of my life now, and I hope you are too. Finally, I call on those of faith who seek to speak the truth. Keep your dogma, keep your rules and doctrines if you wish. Refrain from your hateful rhetoric about those in the Pride community, for it is not compatible with God's love for all of creation. It is disordered, it is perverted, it is intrinsically evil and objectively disordered. Only speak when you have words of wisdom, prophecy, and love. Dear Church with the rainbow flag, thank you for allowing me to speak about Pride. Thank you for the courage to say to the world, love is the doctrine of this church. I am lucky to have you. Amen.